last time on D&D.
And then he just silently takes out his book and just lights the scorpion corpse ablaze.
What are you doing?
You gonna eat this thing?
And anytime I've followed the directions on the page, things have worked out. So now I don't question it.
My buyers aren't interested in this.
A lot that happens in 6 years' time.
We're here to celebrate the gentry.
There is a lot that I don't know.
I'll keep you in mind if I need priceless artifacts destroyed.
That's a fake. And I guess there's a lot they don't know about me.
To the great dogs.
Cheers.
Orange Eyes presents a Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition campaign. DM'd by Alex LeFerrier. Starring
Andrew Gallagher playing Erd.
Ian Selig playing Garum.
And John Selig playing Graf.
Eberron Chronicles, Oracle of War, Season 1.
Well, we should probably go get that last job, huh?
I don't know. Maybe we should keep you away from that board, Garum, since what happened last time.
I'm sorry. I make one mistake. Oh, my God.
No. It's not his fault. We'll have our revenge.
Oh, Graf, why don't you go over there and grab it, huh? You're the lucky one now.
Because I'm busy, and he's clearly just doing nothing.
Or just walks right over to the board and just takes his hand and doesn't even gingerly grab it, just almost crumbles it, just rips it off the board, and the board kind of clumps against the wall and rattles a little bit as he takes it and he reads it.
The simple scrap of paper still says, "Ring the scrapyard bell just after sunup for no questions asked, cast job. Expect danger." Brackle's nowhere to be found.
But he was my favorite.
Yeah, we're not going to get any words of wisdom about Eberron and Kyber.
Erd walks back over to Graf and Garum and just kind of holds his hand out and shows the paper to them.
Yeah, seems like the premonitions are all over, huh?
Well, that's bleak.
Erd looks outside and sees some of the sunlight coming through and realizes they got a little bit more time.
Hey, we got a little bit more time between here and this sun up here. You guys want to go around this town and get a couple of things done before we take care of this last one here?
We can talk to Bellalure and Gorinda and see if they know what to do with this broken arrow.
Let's see if we can get some cash for this thing.
Yeah, I guess we should stock up on supplies again.
Sounds like a plan to me. We make our way out of the gray beyond.
With that, Garum finds himself buying supplies at Becca's blacksmith. And Becca's in her forge. You can just feel the heat radiating from the work that she's doing. And she's just there pounding what seems to be two bits. You know, tell me a bit about yourself, cowboy.
Well, I grew up in Sire and I've known this place as my home.
She rolls her eyes when she hears Sire.
And I've always kind of been down on my luck. And
yeah. She takes a sooty hand and rubs her face.
What, are you not a fan of the place?
I thought you'd come from somewhere else in Corvair. You know, it's just, let's just say I've been here for a while now, and I'm hoping some of those Sirians don't come crawling out of the gray.
Gotcha. And then I start to look around, and just, is there anything of particular note or interest, or just general blacksmithy sorts of stuff?
Well, the forge itself is pretty ramshackle. She has, you know, what looks to be pieces of armor that are acting as a forge, just holding coals, and this whole place is put together by hand.
Do I see like a bin full of different types of arrows or anything?
Yeah, bits of them, like half cut arrowheads and splintered shafts and pieces of feather strewn about. They're in the works, but they're not completed.
So, do you have any more of those whistling arrows?
She looks up at you. Tell me about where you were during the last war.
Well, you know, I did spend some time in Awandare.
She kind of perks up. Awandare was one of our allies during the last war. I served for Breland myself.
That's not too far. I spent some time in the Starpeak Mountains, finding myself in nature, but it made me stronger.
Ugh, she seems to scoff at that. You keep going back to your home nation. That's very brave of you. I thought maybe you were more interested in the riches that might have been left behind in Sire.
Well, I had made a promise to some friends, and I knew at some point, despite what happened, I had to come back and see it for myself.
A guy like you has friends? Looks like she's making, like, nuts and bolts.
Not many, but you've seen the other two that I hang around with.
I thought maybe they hired you. Or you hired them, if you're that desperate.
Believe it or not, we're long friends.
Wow. You guys treat each other like that and as friends? That's surprising to me.
So do you have any more of those arrows or not?
My whistling arrows? They've served you well? She's just eyeing you up and down.
Well, I haven't used them yet, but it seems like they'll be very useful, so.
So you trust me with these whistling arrows, despite never having shot one?
Should I not trust you?
You came all this way to get more arrows, even though you've never used them.
And, you know, to look around and see if you had anything else that might be of use.
Everyone always wants to look around at my shop. And she starts wandering back and forth very slowly in between the forge and some of the other pieces that she's forging. I put together armaments from whatever people bring back from Sire. Maybe you could do the same if you bring me back something worthwhile.
Well, I'll certainly keep an eye out.
I bet you will.
Well, it doesn't look like you have many arrows left. And then I just kind of gesture to the bits and pieces.
I hear you. And yet you're still hanging around here. I could get some whipped up for you. I don't know if they'll be ready for you in time, though, but I'll keep an eye out for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Are you heading off on another job?
Yes, the last one on the job board. We'll see how it goes.
Good to know. Be careful around here, cowboy. People have been talking about you guys.
Great. I'm glad we're getting some recognition.
Recognition's not always a good thing in Salvation. She winks at you. Garam meets Graf and Erd just as they're about to enter the salvage market when they're caught by a very shocking surprise. There, in a semicircle, is a group of men with a stout, plump woman with a purple scarf over her shoulder standing in the middle. One of these thugs is holding Garunda by her neck up in the air. The short, stout, plump woman with a purple scarf is none other than Arulian, one of these salvage brokers of Salvation. You've heard about and you've seen her, but now actually coming together here in the salvage market, does it all make sense? And she's yelling at Garunda, "Don't you worry, one of these days they'll come work for us. Those gray dogs won't be here forever, you know, and they'll wise up and they'll be working for Arulian." And Garunda's little feet are dangling. Bellalure is nowhere to be found.
Before too long, I start to approach the crowd and I just say, "What's going on here?"
As you make your way to the crowd, some of the other thugs point you out. Arulian has a little smirk on her face. None of your business.
So you said that she's a short woman?
Yeah, a stout, plump woman with a purple scarf over her shoulder. You've seen her in various parts and corners of Salvation. You've never engaged her before until this moment. And you've heard this name Arulian before. She's one of the leading brokers of the salvage market. And now today is where she's decided to show her face.
And one of her thugs is holding up Garunda.
Yep. She's standing behind, you know, the two or three other guys, and one of them's holding up Garunda, and Garunda's just dangling there. Don't mind them. Don't mind them. We're done here. We're done here.
If you're done here, then they should put you down.
And Arulian, I'm getting to that. Don't you worry, puppy dog. Everything will work out just fine.
I snarl in her direction.
Oh, this one's got a little bit of bite to him. And eventually they slowly lower down Garunda, and just as she's about to get down to the ground, they push her and Garunda falls to the ground and pieces of metal fly everywhere as she bumps into her own table.
Erd, seeing Garunda being pushed down, starts walking towards her and pushing his way through the thugs.
The thugs don't budge for Erd.
He's pushing his way through still.
They kind of give you a stiff shoulder.
Hey, excuse me, guys, getting through here. None of your business. And he's trying to weasel his way between them.
And Arulian, seeing a stout little orc, kind of laughs at you. Trying to be intimidating. I have some of the best men here in Salvation. Listen, we were just conducting some business here. Doesn't concern you guys.
This business going around here concerns us. The rabble. We're all about business here. You're doing business, we're doing business too.
It looks like those thugs were doing the business and you were just kind of standing there.
It also looks like your business is interfering in ours because this person over here, pointing over to Garanda, she's our partner too.
You're partnering with her? She doesn't even lead this table. Bella Lure does, and she's nowhere to be found. Doesn't even want to show that green little face of hers. You hear me, Bella Lure? I'll be back. Make perception checks.
14.
10.
Erd has a 9.
Aurelian laughs. Are these your hired guns? You must be getting desperate. The Grey Dogs are probably not living up to their fame. If they're even around anymore, you let them know Aurelian has a job for them if they're interested. Come on, boys, let's get out of here. And they kick some dirt up at you guys and shoulder you as you pass and clear a path for Aurelian.
Erd kicks dirt back right at them.
As one of them starts to walk past and, like, you know, give me the shoulder, I take the shoulder and that's fine, but then I stick my foot out and trip him as he walks by.
He stumbles a bit.
Better be careful.
Graf just claps the way you two handled that.
So now that they're a little bit scattered out, Erd goes back to Grunda and extends his hand out to her.
She stands up and grabs your hand, helps herself up, coughing up dirt. Oh, jeez, how embarrassing. It's the second time you guys saved my hide.
Hey, what's the deal with these guys, huh?
It's just Aurelian throwing her weight around. She's got plenty of it.
She wasn't throwing any weight around. It seemed like somebody else was doing that, huh?
Well, you know, it's an extension of her body. It's not too great. Oh, jeez.
So, like, you don't even owe them money?
No, that's just how business is done around here in the salvage market.
Even I think that's vile. It's not her fault she's an idiot.
Shush. We don't like to talk ill of other folk here. Womb Salvation is a very small town.
Sorry, it's not her fault she's unsmart.
And why are they so interested in these Grey Dog guys, huh?
Yeah, why are they so popular?
You heard Aurelian. She's trying to leash up the Grey Dogs for her own use. The Grey Dogs are one of our salvage crews.
When's the last time anyone's seen those Grey Dogs anyway?
You know, it's been a while since I've seen them.
Maybe they're not so great after all.
Oh, I don't know about that. They're one of our best crews that we hire. They're not like these edge guys around here. They're willing to go deep into the Mornland.
You guys work with the Grey Dogs?
Yeah, we're one of their patrons, and as goblins, sometimes we get some rough edge from some of those people around here. People like that.
Do you have any other details about who the Grey Dogs are? We've heard so much about them, yet we don't really know what their party looks like.
It's a whole host of them. A warforged, a halfling, another human, a dwarf with an eye patch. All these Grey Dogs managed to come back with something beyond belief. They've got quite the leader. She always has a head about her shoulders. She's brave and tough and willing to scrap down when scrapping gets good.
I think I might need more specifics than that. What do you guys think?
She has a deep knowledge of Sire, and Aurelian's trying to use that to her advantage, I guess. Let me tell you, this Callie has such a fervor. She just, no matter what, she comes back with something, but you know she's looking for more. Something deeper.
Who? All of a sudden, his tone changes after hearing that name. That can you say that again?
She has just been going deeper and deeper into the Moorland at every beck and call.
Her name?
Callie. Callie Alron. She's the head of the Grey Dogs.
Son of a bitch. Where do we find her?
She went into Kalizart.
You see Erd kind of grow cold and has a look in his eye that you haven't seen before, and some of his spunk washes away.
This whole time that Garunda's been talking, Garum's mouth has just been wide open in disbelief.
Well, how can we go to where she is? Graf's a little, like, on edge. You know, it's like a ghost showing up.
I'd say you have to talk to Bella Lore. She's not here right now.
What if I told you we needed to talk to Callie immediately? What would you tell us?
Man, you seem to have a fire in your belly. Does she owe you money or something? And she starts picking up her wares and writing her table and tending to some of the other customers that are here to sell some wares or pick up some of the trinkets that are sold on her table.
You could say there's a debt to be paid.
She owes us something.
You see Garam kind of looking at both of them a little bit confused about why they have this distaste for Callie and why they seem upset about that. And so Garam just turns to Garunda and says, she's actually an old friend.
You be careful with that word around these parts. A friend doesn't mean much in Salvation.
Where did you last send the Grey Dogs?
I wasn't here for that. I've been in the depot, remember? You know, you're gonna have to speak to Bellalure when she comes around.
And she's obviously not around, looking around.
You keep being very cryptic about how Bellalure just isn't here. Can you give us an actual place that she might be and we could go find her and speak with her, because this is very urgent?
I can't.
Why?
What do I look like, her secretary or something? Like I said, I can't.
Garunda, after all we've done for you, come on.
So you could roll a wisdom insight to determine her deeper motives.
15.
She's definitely given you a stone wall that you can't quite penetrate through. They'll be fine. They'll be back by the week's end.
Well, I hope you're right.
What's the big deal?
Well, we're going to ask you what to do with this fancy trinket we found, but we'll come back when Bellalure is here.
You obviously have no interest in it.
No. Trinket. You guys catching my interest. Okay. All right. You show me your thing. I'll show you my thing, and we walk away happy. What do you got?
We know we have a trinket, but we don't know you are able to tell us what we need.
Some old plans and details surfaced. Bellalure would know. Ugh. Come on, guys. Come on. You know me. I can make it a benefit for both of us. Come on.
All right. Well, it doesn't look like much, but Garam, show her.
So I pull out this super crumpled, rusty, gross-looking piece of metal. And I show it to her, and I do not hand it to her. I show.
And seeing this crumpled, tarnished, twisted trinket of truth, her eyes light up. Oh, my goodness. That is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
So we found this in the Mordlands, and pretty sure that it's the Arrow of Truth from...
I was afraid you were going to say that. Don't bring that up here. It's not that anymore.
Well, what is it now?
I don't know. She kind of like holds it up, trying to find a shape other than what it's beat up to look like. What do you see here? It's called like a Warshak test, and it's just a different shape.
Arrow of Lies.
No, that's way too close. I like your creativity, though.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's call it...
If the price is right, you can name it whatever the hell you want.
Oh, I need it.
And we need Bellalure and Callie.
And she kind of leans in, pulling you guys a little bit closer. Bellalure will be back. But we're waiting for Arulian to leave. And she points outside the salvage market doors, the two big giant metal flapping doors that are left open to leave some of the breeze blowing in. And you can see Arulian and her crew are slowly, you know, sauntering down the alleyways and the avenues of Salvation. Once they're gone, maybe Bellalure will come back, but who knows when that'll be. They're just not on good terms right now.
What did Bellalure do to her?
Bellalure's on to something, you see? And Arulian's trying to get there before us. See, Arulian's always trying to beat us out, but Bellalure and I, the old goblin ingenuity, that's how we get ahead in this place, but... Arulian may have the money and the power, but we have the trinkets, and she makes for the twisted Arrow of Truth.
Maybe not this one.
But I will put it to good use for all of us. You recognize some of these pieces?
What is it?
Does it look dog-like?
It does. As a matter of fact, this seems to be pieces from some of the Iron Defender that you guys faced outside the depot.
I don't know what you're talking about. That wasn't us. It was dead when we got there.
Left over from Errol, her faithful companion. Just trust me. Who knows? Maybe she'll share the information with you that she shared with the Grey Dogs.
Well, more work sounds promising. This Erd looks back over to Garup.
But we have to move quick. She's a dastardly one. Look, look at her. She's always trying to find an upper edge around here in Salvation. And off in the distance, down the avenue, you can see Arulian and her crew bumps into the gentry.
Ooh, that'll be fun. Garam, give her the trinket, and I just sneak over and want to overhear that conversation.
They're further down the avenue, and they'll head into Salvation Hotel before you could even make it out the door.
Ah. Damn. All right, well, never mind then.
Erd's still at the table, seeing Errol the dog, and kind of remembering the past encounter he had with him and how fierce of a foe this mechanical dog was, looking to Garunda. Hey, you know, if we give you this trinket thing here, maybe we can partner up with old, what's his name, Errol over here? These things seem quite useful out there. I mean, if you were out there surviving with this, seems like something we could bring with us and might be helpful, huh?
See, I always know orcs and goblins share some sort of intelligence together. You're onto something there, Erd.
Some sort.
Just you wait. But don't worry. Remember, bravery against danger. That's what I say. And she points to her runes on her shoulder.
Huh.
So do we have a deal or not?
Erd looking back at his two compatriots.
Can't sell it anyway.
Erd just kind of nods at him, giving him the go-ahead.
All right. I hand over the trinket of truth.
And right as you do, I stop, I grab your hand, and just say, just remember, this is a symbol of our longstanding friendship. And then we hand it over.
Of course, and without breaking eye contact, she wraps the trinket up in a blanket and tucks it underneath the table quickly as possible and looks around to make sure no one has seen it. Of course.
Yeah.
As soon as the day's out, I'll get right to work. I'm excited to get my hands on it.
You make sure that job is ready for us. And you make sure Bellalore's around too. We'll be back.
It's a name that you haven't heard in a long time. Cali Allrun is the leader of the Grey Dogs.
I mean, Graf's just kind of shocked, like, Cali. I think it just kind of assumed she was dead. Otherwise, I would have heard something. And he thinks about the book, like, where's the book stuff coming from? Did she know what the book was? Just so many more questions. And yeah, he's like a little bit hurt that she's with this other group and didn't even try to find us, or maybe she did and it's a big world, but he's just kind of going back and forth.
Is he saying any of this stuff out loud?
He's kind of like murmuring to himself. Maybe you caught bits and pieces of that.
It is shocking to hear that Cali is alive.
It's shocking that you guys were alive. I mean, 4 out of 4. How crazy is that?
It's quite crazy.
I can see her staying alive, but you two guys, I mean... Ugh.
Thanks a lot, Erd. Right back at you. I feel like, as a player, I shouldn't know if you have any other weird motives or if it's something that I'm just forgetting.
For me, it's almost just like, I thought she was dead, and the fact that she's been here this whole time, even if it's irrational, it's almost like, she should have told me. I should have... You know what I mean? Like, there should, like, some sort of, like, how could she not look for me? You know, like, that kind of...
Yeah, so Erd's kind of in the middle, too. He's happy to hear that she's survived and that she's around, but also expected that she was dead. But Erd was suffering a lot in the cogs, working the wrestling circuit. A lot of shit happened to him there. And to hear that she's suddenly alive and that she didn't send out any effort to try to help us as the rabble, and, you know, knowing what happened to us, he expected something more. So it's almost a disappointment to see that she's here too. So there's a question right now of, like, well, where does she stand? Is she still with us? Did she come here for us? Did she expect to see us? We don't really know.
Yeah, we were on like a 2-year wild goose chase, right?
Yeah. And she bailed us out for this new crew. So it's like kind of, you know, fuck them a little bit in some ways. I don't think he's still in the middle of the road though with it. We don't know what her motives are now.
It's cool that we have, like, all the parts here. Like, John's on one end, I'm on the other end, and you're in the middle. Like, that's cool.
And we also thought, too, there were some thoughts that the corpse sculptor was the Grey Dogs. So we thought that could potentially be them, too. So
we actually haven't proven that it's not.
And we haven't proven that it's not either. So we could think that, you know, we might think that Callie's dead, too, as well.
So I don't know if Graf fully thinks this, but John the player thinks Cali had a hand, or at least some tangential awareness of what was going to happen in Sire. And it's not an accident that none of us were in Sire at that time. But I don't know if Graf thinks that. And I'm trying to figure out if he would have that kind of suspicion. I think he would.
I think so. The timing, I don't know if Erd would have the suspicion. I mean, maybe a little bit. Yeah, he would have a little bit of a suspicion because of the timing is oddly strange.
Like you said, 4 out of 4. Seems a bit odd, doesn't it, Erd?
Yeah, it's quite odd, but...
We've never been so lucky in our entire lives.
Damn, I mean, the only lucky thing we've had is probably meeting Callie, so...
Sounds like it wasn't luck then, don't you think?
You're thinking it wasn't just a coincidence?
Don't you think it's a little convenient? And she gave us all these neat, tidy jobs and these weird trinkets and sent us on our way, and then right when we were supposed to reconvene, Sire disappeared. Pretty big coincidence, that's all I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know. She was supposed to meet us here, and if she's here, we can ask her and figure it out. I mean, I didn't even suspect to see her here. I mean, you guys were surprised enough. I didn't even think she'd be able to make it.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think she's capable of masterminding the entire destruction of a nation, but something doesn't sit quite right.
But either way, wouldn't you be happy that she sent us away before that happened?
Maybe. Depends on what she knows.
Yeah, it seems to work out this far. Let's keep our ears perked up on this one, and I don't know. Maybe we can trust Callie, maybe we can't. She's working with these Grey Dogs now, so who knows what these people have done to her. I don't know.
She either saved our lives or left us for dead, and I honestly don't know. Just kind of trails off.
Garim listens to their back and forth, and he nods along and doesn't really show much of anything. But inside, Garim's just kind of thinking that, you know, our job was to return to Sire after our 2-year mission, and then none of us did until a bunch of years later. It's not Callie's fault that she ended up with these new people and that she ended up in the place that she told us to be. I'm a little confused about why they have this sort of almost a grudge now against her, but I try not to show it, and I just move on and let it go.
I feel like it'd be like finding out your dead sister was actually alive and didn't try to find you. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. And also, Graf does kind of think like it's a little sketchy what she had us do. It's a little sketchy how she sent us all to different corners of the world right as this was going to go down. It's a little convenient. So he's not necessarily writing off Callie, but he needs a lot of questions answered to feel good about it again.
And I think Graf and Erd were put in stickier situations than Garen was. Garen was like chilling in the woods and then ran into that one group, whereas Erd and Graf were in the middle of the shit.
Yeah, you killed a 12-year-old, and I had to rescue an entire caravan of... What the hell did I do? Caravan of stolen goods or something?
And that guy's eyeball falling out of his head.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the woods for 3 years. I did more than just that one encounter. I know.
We're clearly just going off the prologue. I don't know.
One more player thing. Guy missing his eyeball. Guy with an eye patch in the Grey Dogs. Bum, 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 baby. Connection there.
Don't know.
I guess we'll find out.
Dun, 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 dun.
So as you're walking through the streets of Salvation with your own internal thoughts, maybe sharing bits and pieces with one another, you start heading towards the scrapyard, according to your job post, when all of a sudden you see outside the scrapyard walls a gnome with white glazed over eyes, a striped shirt, and a beard. And his hand floats in the air, and he just seems to be looking off, gazing into the distance.
Oh, so I guess we're not going to go without some sort of premonition, huh?
Erd still has the job in his hand and brings it over and starts approaching Brackle.
Hey, last time that we tried talking to him, it didn't go so well. Why don't we just ring that bell before the sun gets any higher?
Yeah, that's probably the thing to do. Let's just let him do his thing, and I mean, he seems to in his own world anyway.
Brackle, keep doing you. Give him a nod as we walk by.
You see in his other hand by his side, he has a piece of paper in his hand. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't even seem to acknowledge you guys are there.
I'll take the paper.
The material of the paper is very reminiscent of your journal. It's like pressed, fibrous material that makes just this thick parchment paper. These pages are very unique. It obviously has torn perforation marks as if it was ripped out of a journal.
Is there anything written on this paper?
No.
Well, it was good to see you, Breckle, and I start heading towards the bell.
You two go ahead. Breckle! And I sort of put on my big boy voice and try to get him to respond to me.
He doesn't acknowledge you.
I am frustrated and just, I reach out and just grab him by the shoulder and say, Breckle, and I shake him.
You shake Breckle violently.
I get him by the neck and lift him off the ground. Anything?
His little feet dangle. He starts going limp. His hand that was fluttering in the air just falls by his side.
I hear this happening on my way to the bell, and I turn around to see this, and I shout at Graf to let him go.
Toss him aside.
And like a rag doll, slumps over into the dirt. Barely collects himself, just kind of lays there.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I just wanted to talk.
Brackle shifts a little bit in the sand, slowly gets to his bottom. He's just sitting in the sand, looking up into the sky with his glazed over white milky eyes.
Erd's laughing, like you hear, and you can hear him from the distance laughing, you know.
Can't ruffle his feathers, Graf, huh? He's in his own world, that Brackle.
And for a brief moment, you can tell Graf isn't super proud of what just happened. So he says, I'm sorry, old man. And he leaves a silver coin on the ground. In his mind, it's all fine now. We're even. I will quickly take out my journal and investigate.
As you open up the journal, the pages flutter as if blown by an unseen wind, and it lands on a spot in which there's a page that has been torn out. As if with a mind of its own, the ripped out page jumps into the book. It seals itself back into the journal, the ripped perforations matching identically.
This makes me want to talk to him even more.
I look around. Do I see the bell that we need to ring?
And Erd is with you.
And you hear behind you.
Deeper and deeper they went to learn more about the dragons. But little did they realize they were nothing but the breath of those that do not want to speak. The dragon above, the dragon below, and the dragon in between.
And at this point, you look over and Brackle's looking right at you with his white, milky eyes.
The dragon beneath lies in wait as the three delve deep into its maw. They have the sight, but only an oracle will guide them.
You're a real pain in the ass, old man.
And his hand just continues to dance in the air.
Always love listening to your stories, but we're going to be on our way.
Maybe that's where our shipment of Carnathy gin went, straight to that guy's head.
So there's supposed to be a bell around here, right?
Outside of Salvation, a scrapyard fills the swampy remains of an abandoned factory yard. A warforged colossus slumps at its rear. Even sitting, it's 100 feet tall. Half buried by junk and sitting on its backside. An iron bell hangs from a post at the scrapyard entrance. The iron bell is probably 30 feet in the air.
So looking at the bell, is there like a rope or like anything attached to it that we can ring it or some sort of mechanism around?
There was, but it's unreachable. The rope's probably snapped like two-thirds of the way up.
Don't worry, I got this. Garum pulls out one of those fancy whistling arrows that he got from Becca the blacksmith, and he knocks the arrow, takes aim, and lets it fly.
familiar sound of a salvation bell rings.
Good thing stealth wasn't listed.
You could probably hear this sucker for 500 yards away, maybe more.
Does it stir up Brackle at all?
It doesn't stir up Brackle at all. Just then, from around some of the scrap piles from the direction of the Warforged Colossus, an old hunched man with thick white long mutton chops and balding scalp comes over with a wooden cane.
Are you the danger?
This is Evan Anser. You've heard his name in the passings of Salvation. Evan Anser runs the scrapyard here, rarely ever putting his head in town. And as Evan Anser starts walking towards you guys,
yes. About time someone finally took this job.
He looks you guys up and down.
Not quite what I had in mind, but hey, we're not complaining. I get it. You guys love a little danger.
You're not quite what I had in mind either, but we'll make do. Who rang the bell? Is that it?
That's a start, that's for sure. And he takes his cane and he starts like testing the tires of you guys, knocking your boots and like, you know, poking at your breastplates and making sure you guys are sturdy folk.
Bird pokes him right back in the chest, just very gently.
He swats it away with his cane.
Yeah, the rabble doesn't mess around. That's us. You haven't figured that out yet.
The rabble. Sure.
Yes, you'll do. Let's get right to it, shall we? I need some help cleaning out what I think is an infestation of sorts. You see that big Warforged Colossus back there? Just the other day, I found a hatch behind it. Seems there's a tunnel leading into the ground. The owner of this scrapyard wants to make sure there's no foul doings going on. You see, they bought this Warforged Colossus, and they don't want scrappers taking it apart.
Might have been those gentry guys, huh? You hear them? They've been scrapping all around here. You watch out for them. Trust me. We'll help you out.
I'll pay you 10 gold each if you go into those tunnels and clean out any of the rats you might find.
We've come this far.
So wait, you're not the owner of this scrapyard?
I'm working on behalf of my owner. I'd like to protect this place, you know what I mean?
Well, I also like to know who I'm working for. Who is the owner?
You're working for Evan Anser today. 10 gold.
I just look at Erd and Graf.
Is it Callie? It's Callie, isn't it?
You guys took that post off the job board. You know what it says. No questions asked. I just need to rid myself of a rat infestation, all right?
That's the deal. We'll take it. Get those 10 gold. Looks back. 30 gold ready. And we'll clear out this little infestation you have, huh?
All right, old man. You have a deal.
And let me tell you, Big Mo is one of their finest investments. If Big Mo's starting to be torn apart by greedy salvagers who don't want to go into the moorland, well, gosh darn it, we'll rough them out.
And maybe once you get this thing back up and running, you'll let us give it a little test drive, huh?
Only fair.
You're a small orc, but my God, do you think big?
Somebody's got around here.
My God, it's a simple job. I just need you to go down in the tunnels, and you're already pie in the sky thinking about a Warforged Colossus on your back. Oh, jeez, these kids these days.
And he starts like wandering back towards one of his scrap piles.
All right, well, you know what? We'll talk about this later. Let's deal with this tunnel stuff or whatever. We'll get down there and we'll take out this crew and, you know, we'll talk a little bit more later. But where's this tunnel you're talking about?
Yeah, the back of Big Mo.
Someone's paying attention. Orcs, man, let me tell you, you gotta write everything down. You gotta pin it in the dirt.
On that note, we'll take our leave and go find some rats for you.
All right, we're on for it. And maybe next time you fix that damn bell before you ask somebody to ring it, huh?
And with that, Evan Anser starts shuffling off to one of his small little stalls at the front of the scrapyard.
Well, let's go.
Gents, I'm not particularly superstitious, which is actually kind of a funny statement because he's a warlock of some kind. But Brackle said, 3 spirits enter the mouth of Kyber. And now the 3 of us are about to go underground. Just a tad spooky.
Well, wow, I did not think of that. I did not make that connection.
Sorry, now it's in your head.
Well, I mean, it's a hole in the ground. It's not a mouth. It's 2 different things.
Literal as always. I'm sure it's just a fun coincidence, but
we don't know how far down this tunnel goes. We could try and wrangle a 4th to join us, and then that would render Brackle's musings irrelevant.
Yeah, we didn't listen to him the 2 other times like it really mattered.
What do you think, Garam? Did I make you nervous?
You did, yeah. But I guess if you're both going, I'm going too.
Hey guys, we're not going to, it's not like we're going to the gray. We're just going underground. This will be easy.
Well, the other option would be one of us could stay behind, and then only two souls are going into the Maw of Kyber.
But I think by not all three of us going, we're almost guaranteeing at least two of those souls will stop, or whatever it was.
Maybe we want this premonition to happen, huh?
Stupid old gnome, let's go.
All right, there you have it.
And as you start knifing your way through the scrap pile, see different pieces of discarded materials, pieces of war forged and other scraps tossed aside. And you get to this giant war forged colossus, and in front of you is just this amazing structure that sitting down still towers 100 feet tall. And it has these dark eyes that sit recessed onto its metal head, and its arms just sit by its side, somewhat peacefully with its head bowed down.
At the getting closer to this, you see Erd perk up a little bit more than normal, and he's excited to see such a magnificent creation.
So you find a hatch behind Big Mo that leads into the ground. The tunnel is hidden behind one of Big Mo's fallen metal armor plates. Lugging it aside, you reveal a slanted tunnel plunging down into the dark. It's clearly been excavated recently, perhaps by a machine, and is expertly stabilized with wooden support beams.
Seems like these rats are pretty good at building, huh? Huh.
Yeah, this tunnel is prettier than I thought it would be.
God, I don't trust anyone in this town. Well, let's go see what rats we find.
It ends with pay. Huh.
So from the surface, the tunnel descends about 50 feet before it levels out and starts turning east. Garam, you can feel just your sense of direction, even underground. You know that you're traveling into the Mornland. As you start walking down this long 100-foot corridor dug into the dirt, you see little wisps start emanating as you walk through the fog. Tendrils of mist and billows of fog start permeating the dirt around you. You're clearly heading into the Mornland.
Erd, remember when you said that we would be going underground and not into the Mornland?
We can't escape this damn place. Everything is in here. Ugh.
I don't know if we were ready for this.
It seems to always end up here. Yeah, I'm ready. And Erd takes one finger in one ear and one finger in the other ear and starts talking to himself.
Hold on. This is more than we bargained for. Maybe we go up and tell them the rats offered us 20.
That's an interesting idea.
The tunnel in the back of 100-foot Warforged. Why? Why don't we just collapse the tunnel? He's not using it. Then we can say we took care of the rats.
I mean, look at the size of this tunnel. I don't think it would be too hard for them to fix a collapsed opening.
Seems whatever they're getting to, they really want if they put this much effort into it.
It doesn't add up, though. It just doesn't add up.
I mean, we could try to get more information out of Evan Anser. We could try deceiving him.
He said no questions asked. We're not getting anything out of him.
Are we walking into the mouth of the dragon? I look down the hallway as far as I can, and what do I see? I'm using a perception check, and I'm thankful for Paul Blank's advantage here, because my first roll was a 1. But it's actually a 19.
You see something shimmering and solidify into what seems to be a door.
Well, my friends, there is a door up ahead.
We came this far. We can give a little knock.
What did we get ourselves into?
Same shit we always get ourselves into.
You guys ready?
Describe the door.
It's a heavy wooden door, and it seals the end of the tunnel.
Do we at least press on and check out the door, or do we go and talk with Evan Anser?
This might be the danger we've been expecting, boys.
Fine to give it a knock, but just remember, Brackle, the Gray, this was not the plan. We have no rations, but sure, let's go knock on the door.
I don't even know if we should knock. Maybe we could go and listen at the door, put an ear up to it.
Shoot a whistling arrow through it, wake up whatever's down here, bring it to us.
What a great idea. When you're right, you're right.
Why don't you give a little listen there, Garam, with those fancy ears of yours, huh?
So I think by this point, we're walking towards the door and I put one ear against it.
All right, roll another perception check.
So I'm really thinking back to my encounter with Paul Blank, and it's really helping me out here. That's going to be a 15 instead of a 4.
You don't really hear anything out of the ordinary.
I don't know what you guys want to do.
Graf just looks at Erd, looks at Garam, and opens the door.
Make a strength check.
Me?
You're the one who ripped open the door.
Yep.
That's a 6.
The door doesn't budge.
I'm like, gee, it must be locked.
Erd, do you want to...
You want me to open the door? Seriously, guys?
Make a strength check.
Erd goes up and puts his whole body weight against the door, puts his feet down and starts to push, and his feet just from behind him start to slip as he falls and slaps his face onto the ground. He rolls a 1.
Oh, guys! Oh.
As he falls down.
Man!
Brackles in your head.
Oh, something.
How does no one know how to open a door? And I walk up to the door and I open the door.
Do you?
So that's going to be an unnatural 20.
As you burst open the door, you look into the cavern in front of you and you can see piles of bodies stacked up and a figure of an armed soldier who seems to be alerted to the sounds previously made at the door. Just as the door bursts open, small little holes around the frame spray with a horrible acid poison in a cloud around you guys.
Should have trusted Brackle.
Fogging your vision of the bodies and fogging your vision of this armored soldier.
Well, shit.
This is season 1 of Eberron Chronicles, Oracle of War. DM'd by Alex LeFerrier, played by Andrew Gallagher, Ian Selig, and John Selig, and is an Orange Eyes creative work. This is one chapter of Episode 1, The Nightland, by Sean Merwin, written as a D&D Adventurers League campaign. Influence this game and story at EberronChronicles.com. Tune in next week when our adventurers encounter...
Where's Paul Blank when you need him?
Oh, holiest early supporter, Paul Blank, save us from this travesty, Paul Blank.
Should have sent Brackle in first.
We don't want to hurt you.
Your arrow punctures the armor.
Let's talk man to man.
But don't make us.
He's like a sack of feathers. He's so lightweight, so gaunt.
Have you ever seen one like me?
I got you one more time, Garam.
He manages to deflect your arrow with this strange-looking shield.
My friends, have we lost the art of delicacy?
I'm not doing too good over here.
Graf sees this and he's like, son of a bitch.
Subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. Email the show directly at speakingstone@eberronchronicles.com. You are our dragon shards, and keep this show powered.